Hello and welcome to another edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a vulgar person. And this guy is making sure that on my last episode before turning 42, that I don't curse on this episode.
I never said anything about Derek, but if you want to try to do that, then I'm down.
Anyway,
let's see what happens.
I feel like I'm going to blow it right out of the gate. But of course, this guy is the vice mayor around these parts. He's also known as Thunderstick, Jesse Friedman.
Well, hey, maybe today was a little foreshadowing of what's going to happen a week from now. Diamondbacks handily beat the Los Angeles Dodgers this afternoon out at Salt River Fields. And we're only a week away from opening day, Derek. So,
correct.
I guess maybe the Dodgers aren't going to, you know, put in their guy from single A who very much struggled in this game today.
He
guy is going to make the opening day roster.
Fingers crossed.
Who knows?
Maybe this was just a preview. Don't call it a prediction. Call it a spoiler. But yes, the Arizona Diamondbacks handled the Dodgers today with a very potent offensive first inning. Meanwhile, they lose to the Cubs over at Sloan Park. They had a split squad situation today, playing two games. And the big story, of course, is the battle for the fifth rotation spot for the Arizona Diamondbacks. They have two guys currently basically in the competition. It's Dre Jameson and Ryan Nelson, and both guys started today. And if you want to see just a little preview of what those two outings look like, I think, Damon, we have a little image that kind of exemplifies what these guys did today. Yeah, right there. Right there.
Did you really Photoshop hats?
Yeah, I threw little hats on them. Little hats. But anyway.
You should fill the audio only people.
Yeah,
in
so it's the Spider-Man meme of the two Spider-Mans pointing at each other. Spider-Men. Spider-Mans. Yeah. With Diamondbacks hats on. And of course, that is an example, a metaphor, if you will, for how these two young pitchers' outings went today, because very similar, and it doesn't make Torey Lovullo's job any easier on this decision at all.
No, it really doesn't, and it doesn't make our job any easier in trying to predict who the winner of that battle is going to be.
Your job, not my job. Yeah, my job's to drink beers, pal.
I have no idea. I purposefully was going to release my third iteration of my roster projection for the Diamondbacks. I was going to release that
injury
over
bug
on gophnx.com.
Yeah,
that title's not official yet, but I was going to release that before the game today, and I was like, you know what? I should wait. I should see what happens. Both mm-hmm. Dre Jameson and Ryan Nelson are pitching today.
Understandable.
It would, you know, I'd look a little silly if I pick someone and then that guy blows up or something today. But yeah, we didn't really get any kind of clarity whatsoever. Dre Jameson, 4 1/3 innings, 4 hits, 4 runs, 4 walks, 7 strikeouts. Ryan Nelson over at Sloan Park, 4 2/3 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. There's just not really a big enough difference.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we still really don't know. And I don't think the Diamondbacks know either. Based on what Torey Lovullo has said, it doesn't sound like the Diamondbacks really have a very clear direction on this, at least not with what they've told us.
It goes beyond that, Jesse, because it's not just today's outings. It's the entire spring so far. Dre Jameson might have a slight edge because Ryan Nelson did have couple of rough starts to start spring training, but he's gotten back on track. And Jameson, I don't want to say he's fallen off or regressed, but he's given up. His outings haven't been so clean as they were. So they kind of met in the middle. Both have 14 innings pitched, with Nelson having a third more innings pitched. Jameson's given up 16 hits, 12 runs, 12 earned runs. Nelson, 20 hits, 12 runs, 12 earned runs. Jameson's walked 7. Nelson's walked 8. Jameson has 19 strikeouts. Nelson has 13 strikeouts.
That's the only big
That's the big really. Difference, yeah. Right? And then the ERAs are very similar. 7.71 for Jameson, a little bit higher ERA than Nelson, who has a 7.53 ERA. Pretty much the big difference there is that extra a third of an inning pitch for Nelson. These guys have both pitched 5 games. Jameson has had 5 starts, whereas Ryan Nelson had 4 starts and 1,
right,
like kind of a long outing out of the pen. I'm not going to say
that was more semantics than anything.
It really was. Yeah,
they both pitched in 5 games.
Right.
Yeah, they both pitched in 5 games. That's really the story there. I think Jameson overall, my assessment, I think Jameson overall maybe looked a little bit better than Ryan Nelson. We were both at Salt River today, so We didn't see Ryan Nelson pitch in person today, so I can't speak much to his outing. Jameson, 10, I believe he got 10 swings on his slider. 8 of them were misses. So his slider has continued to be a really effective weapon.
It's his best pitch.
Yeah. And Ryan, he said it was his best pitch today, which makes sense. I mean, I think it is. And then Ryan Nelson, I think the question there is still, what exactly is his go-to secondary pitch? He has a few of them. They kind of come and go, it seems like, but his four-seamer is real and legit and probably one of the best four-seamers in the organization, frankly. So, it's a tough decision, and I still lean Dre Jameson a little bit. He's kind of been the guy I've picked all along. But, I mean, we've got one more outing, Derek. I think they're both going to throw one more time next week.
Correct. And Torrey said both pitchers will have one more start, and that no decision has been made up to this point.
Yeah.
Dre did have some thoughts after today's game, just once again about what he can and can't control. Here's his thoughts on that. We got that?
No. I mean, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do what I can. And like I've said every time, it's out of my control. It's in my control to go out there and compete and do the best that I can. But decision-wise, it's out of my control. So it is frustrating with 4 walks. But at the end of the day, I think I controlled it a little bit. Yeah, I walked a guy. But then then resulted in getting a ground ball double play and not letting anything blow up.
Now, I think a big thing here, too, is that Dre Jameson did have a rough first inning. And he was really, really mad about the walks. He did not like those 4 walks that he gave up today. That kind of I think that bothered him more than the earned runs that he gave up. Right. But the one thing that, you know, Jameson did do was rebound from a tough first inning, whereas Ryan Nelson kind of had a pretty solid outing going. I think through 3, he'd only given up 1 hit and 1 run through 3 innings. But then things kind of fell off there a little bit at the end. So I don't know how that impacts the decision or if it impacts the decision at all. But once again, Torrey Lovullo did have a little bit more on how difficult this is for the organization and how difficult it's been to send down the other guys that were part of this competition.
Probably. Yeah, probably. We want to take as much time as we can to evaluate them. And it's a very tough decision, right? So 2 have been sent out. Those were not easy discussions for any of us. And we just want to be as thorough as we possibly can. So we'll ride it out as long as we can and make the best decision moving forward for this team. So nothing's been decided. As of our discussions this morning, nothing has been figured out.
Those guys will each get one more today, right?
Yes.
With Higgins, Diego.
And that was him confirming that they both do get one more start. Obviously, this is the biggest competition right now on the team, but it's not the only competition team, right? A lot of you have asked us about Kyle Lewis versus Pavin Smith and which one of these guys end up on the roster. We don't even know technically if it's between these two guys, but we kind of know, right? And Kyle Lewis is not making this easy. Again, much like this decision between Jameson, Nelson, both guys have had a pretty outstanding spring, but
Smith has had a solid spring. Kyle Lewis is sitting 478.
He's had an insane spring, right? But I mean, my point that I was making is it feels like common sense wise that Pavin Smith is the decision, but Kyle Lewis is just having such a good spring, especially at the dish. We saw him out in the outfield today. Didn't look. He wasn't going to blow your mind with his defense, and we knew that that was going to be the most likely case in the corners for him. But it's just hard to deny what he's doing at the plate right now. He's having an outstanding spring so far.
Yeah, Kyle Lewis, I mean, another home run in this game today. He was 1-for-3 with a walk. You look at the numbers overall for spring training. Lewis, as I said, 478, 571 on base percentage. He's slugging literally 1,000. Pavin Smith, holding his own, right? Hitting .333 with an on-base percentage of .333, a slugging percentage of .444. So I think from a slash line perspective, there's no comparison here. Kyle Lewis deserves to make the roster over Pavin Smith. The question that we've continued to come back to is, who is the Diamondbacks' backup first baseman if they give that spot to Kyle Lewis. And there are some reasonable options. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. played 8 games at first base last year for the Toronto Blue Jays. Evan Longoria has
a lot
somehow,
of experience he has there.
Evan Longoria has somehow never played a game at first base in his career.
Really?
Never. Wow. Not a single inning at first base his career.
I feel like his name is a name that we would bring up as a potential candidate.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't know. I mean, the thought there is that third base is maybe a little bit harder to play defensively.
Yeah, yeah. If
right?
you can play third base, generally speaking, you can
play
probably
first.
Play first base.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of are the Diamondbacks, I mean, I haven't seen, like, if they were planning on using Longoria in that spot, you'd expect the D-backs would have given Longoria at least a game or two at first base by now.
Yeah.
But I don't think we've seen that.
Like, Kyle Lewis is getting some time in the outfield this spring, even though there's a good chance that he might not see any time in the outfield in the regular season this year. We might not see Kyle Lewis do anything but DH potentially. Again, that limits Torey Lovullo's ability to utilize someone like Kyle Lewis or Pavin Smith multiple roles and have them be an asset outside of just, you know, what they're able to provide with a bat in their hand, right? But you were telling me Pavin Smith has not walked in spring training
Pavin
yet.
Pavin Smith has 27 plate appearances. He hasn't walked.
That's wild because, again, we've talked about this a bit, but Pavin Smith is constantly being complimented on his plate discipline and his ability to know the strike zone. So no walks doesn't exactly back that up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's some guys in spring training maybe are taking a little more of a free swinging approach. I don't necessarily know that that's what Pavin has been doing, but yeah, I mean, the other side of this is Kyle Lewis bats right-handed, Pavin Smith bats left-handed. I think on that front, that would probably push things in Lewis's favor. The Diamondbacks still have a pretty left-handed heavy lineup, even after trading Dalton Varsho. So, that could factor into it as well. But as we've talked about before, it still feels like there has to be some level where Kyle Lewis is just knocking the cover off the ball so much that it's tough to look that guy in the eyes and say, you know what, we didn't quite see enough and we want you to start the year in AAA, even though, you won the Rookie of the Year award in the American League a few years ago. And sort of, at least from what we can tell, Kyle Lewis looks every bit the player that he was, at least offensively. It's hard to argue with what we've seen so far. And I think if you're a fan of this team, he's a guy to kind of dream on a little bit. I mean, the reason the Diamondbacks made that trade where they sent Cooper Hummel over to Seattle was that Kyle Lewis has some untapped potential. He has a ceiling that he can reach that some people think he still has the opportunity to reach at this stage in his career. And we're kind of seeing some flashes of that every now and then right now.
I think there's more battles going on, right? And I don't know where this is all going to end up, because there's a lot of things right now that for this team that are going well that we don't quite understand. And there's a lot of things not going great for this team right now. So Kyle Lewis's bat, I still don't quite understand how, you know, how he's having such an outstanding spring. But I mean,
it's all hard contact too.
Yeah, it's really hard contact. This guy is a former American League Rookie of the Year, though, and I think that's the thing is like, even if he might never be the defensive player he was,
yeah, that part's not going to come back.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like it's held him back at the dish at all. So, but when it does come to the other side of the ball, of course, besides Dre Jameson and Ryan Nelson, Torey Lovullo has some decisions to make about the bullpen.
Yeah.
And today, things were kind of all over the place. Some guys had some completely outstanding outings and continue to. Juris Familia. We were discussing how to pronounce his name before the show. Juris Familia. Two-thirds of an innings pitch today. One hit, 0 runs, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. Currently has a 1.35 ERA this spring.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think he's been utilized quite a bit too. It's not like he's been scarcely used.
Yeah. I think Familia, I would just about take that to the bank at this point. I think Familia is probably going to make the team.
That's wild. Not something we thought when the Diamondbacks picked him up, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he had an ERA over 6 last year.
Yeah.
He got released, I think it was, by the Philadelphia Phillies. Red Sox picked him up for the rest of the year. and he still was basically the same guy, an ERA over six as well in Boston. So he seems to have found something. Again, you don't really know for sure until the regular season rolls around and you're pitching in some higher leverage situations. But I think you can just about take it to the bank that Familia will be a part of this bullpen. Cole Sulcer is another guy that I think has a really, really good chance. He threw today against the Cubs an inning and a third. He did allow a run, two walks, one strikeout, not his best outing, but he has a 1.17 ERA and has had a really solid spring training overall. So I would probably put Sulcer in there as well. We've also got Luis Frias, who had a not great outing against the Cubs today. No. He did not get an out and allowed two hits and two walks, three runs. His ERA for spring is now up over six. And I don't know this for sure, Derek, but we've had some not great performance from Luis Frias in the past at the big league level. When he has come up, he just has not been good in really any shape or form. He's walked a bunch of guys. He doesn't get that many swings and misses. It hasn't looked good. And he's had a decent spring up until today. My guess is that that outing might be enough to knock him out of this race and have him sending packing up, heading to Reno to start the year.
Especially this close to the season, I don't see there being time to make any kind of other impact. But
even if he has a good outing the next time out, I don't know if the full body of work is something you feel good enough about at this point.
I'm ready for Cole Sulcer and Adrius Familia in the bullpen. I'm ready for some new blood. I'm ready for the Diamondbacks to give other guys an opportunity. I say that because one of our big concerns obviously was that the bullpen had remained basically unchanged to a degree. And I mean, now due to the injury to Melanson and some changes, some free agency, Andrew Chafin, which, by the way, hearing that song today at Salt River Fields about the pickup truck once again warmed my heart. I haven't heard that song in years, but great opportunity for the Diamondbacks to turn things around, at least with the bullpen from what we saw last year.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, and I'll go ahead and spoil what I'm gonna write tomorrow. This is who I think the D-backs bullpen's gonna be. We don't know for sure.
Whoa, spoiler alert.
This is who I got.
Spoiler alert.
You got Joe Mantiply, Andrew Chafin, Kyle Nelson. I think those are your three lefties.
Okay.
You got Kevin Ginkle, Miguel Castro, Scott McGuff, Jurys Familia, Cole Sulcer. Those are your five righties. There's your eight guys.
Like that. And honestly, Familia is probably the only one that I didn't expect to see there.
Sure.
Or didn't think that there was a strong possibility that we could see there. Obviously, other guys there that I'm sure I thought would have been probably edged out if Melanson and Corbin Martin were still in the mix for the bullpen. But things are different now. And the Diamondbacks, luckily, for once, have enough players to lose some to injury and be able to back them up. And honestly, I think it sucks that it happens this way. Nobody wants to see someone get injured and then, have them lose the opportunity that way. But if you want to talk about the opportunity being created for guys to step up and win a job and help this team win baseball games, this is it, versus what we saw last year over the last 2 years, where it just felt like the Diamondbacks did not have anywhere close to the pieces to put a competitive team out there on the field, right?
At the very least, I mean, to your point earlier, there's some turnover here.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the Diamondbacks are coming back this season with the exact same guys who really struggled last year. You've got a few guys in common. You've got Mantiply, you've got Ginkle.
Some pretty solid guys that they could count on last year.
Yeah, right? But those were all the best guys.
That's what I mean.
And obviously Mark Melanson would have been there. The injury takes him out of the running. But yeah, I don't want to make it sound like the Diamondbacks went out and got some star closer or something. But it's a different cast of characters. And I mean, we'll have to see how that cast of characters does. There's certainly no guarantees there. But it's not like the D-backs are rolling out the same bullpen in 2023 as they had last year.
And you also have the fact that someone like Miguel Castro, for instance, looks very, very good this spring. And he could develop into not only the closer based on this opportunity or this situation, but he could potentially be the closer of this team for the future, right? He's a young guy.
It's possible.
So
For next year, club option.
No.
Mutual option.
Yeah.
One of the two.
Yeah, something like that.
It's an option of some kind.
There's an option there. There's options, but no updates from Torey Lovullo and Carson Kelly yet. Lovullo said they don't expect to have a timetable for weeks. Jesse did talk to Carson. He was wearing a gigantic,
His like splint thing. It's not a cast. I don't know. Yeah. It's a splint of some sort. It was electronic. It had a power button and a light on. And I didn't really know what that was for. Carson also didn't know what that was for. I asked him if it does his dishes.
No.
He disappointedly said it does not do his dishes for him. So, yeah, high tech equipment.
Is it like a weapon? So if someone tries to break his arm again,
maybe that's what it is. Yeah, maybe if somebody tries to like fist bump him or something, then it, I don't know, it like fires a bang flag or something. Yeah, that's what it is.
I need a bang flag.
But yeah, we don't know for sure. The team is not given an official timetable. But we talked about, you can do some research on this injury and get a sense of it.
Six weeks before you're feeling good again, like not feeling discomfort any longer, which that's one thing that was really sad about the interview with Carson the other day, was you could just tell how much pain he was in. And
it was the most pain he's ever been in.
Yeah, and he's a tremendously nice guy. So it did not surprise me that he stood there in such pain giving you guys an interview, which is,
I mean,
just
hopefully
wild.
He's not in as much pain. I'm sure he's still
it's
in
what
pain,
the little robot box is for.
Yeah, right
just pain med injections right into the bone.
I think it's gonna be we did ask him about some specific time frames, and he somewhat sort of confirmed could be 6 to 8 weeks, could be 8 to 10 weeks.
Wow.
I think anything between 6 and 10 weeks is a pretty realistic idea, but the team hasn't given an official timetable yet.
And then we looked that up on the orthopedic website that said that it takes at least like 3 months for it to fully heal, plus you know, so even if he is back in that time frame, there's still some, I'm sure there's still going to be some caution, and he probably won't get the reps that he would have once he returns anyway. It'll probably ease him back into it.
Yeah,
hopefully by that point Gabriel Moreno and the other catchers kind of have held the fort down for him, and maybe can even be producing at a level that makes it so that we're not missing Carson so much.
It's going to be fascinating, man. If Gabby Moreno's hitting 315 or something in the middle of May and Carson Kelly comes back, is it like, all right, Carson Kelly, you're the guy?
I've seen him do it before. I've seen him do it before.
I don't know if they could.
Yeah,
When you trade Dalton Varsho, when you trade one of your best, if not your best position players for a guy, and they start to produce at the big league level, it's going to be tough to be like, all right, you're a backup again.
It's a fantastic point.
But, I don't know.
Make sure to check out Jesse's article when it drops on his roster predictions. It's the third edition of the roster predictions article.
Might be the last one.
We don't have a lot of time left before opening day.
Squeeze
one in on the night before.
Yeah, maybe next week right before opening day, I'll drop one more. But we're getting pretty close. We're getting to the point where it's like, yeah, we've kind of like the players in question have done what they were going to do in these spring training games. And it's at the point where it's up to the Diamondbacks to decide.
Correct.
One more scoreless inning, or, you know, at this point, I don't know if the numbers are going to mean much, except for maybe Jameson and Nelson. I still think that their last outings before opening day might be the determining factor for all we know in what decision the team makes.
Don't miss any of the stuff this guy has going on by getting yourself a diehard membership over at gophnx.com. You get exclusive access to all of our newsletters, all the content behind a paywall. You also get free merch from the phnxlocker.com, as well as 20% off all future purchases. You also get members-only merchandise, members-only invites to events, members-only discounts with our partners, and so much more. You also get access to our members-only Discord lounge. And of course, you get to be a part of the PHNX family. Join us. You get discount on events too, like our upcoming PHNX tea party, which is happening tomorrow, AKA my birthday party. I'm taking it over. I'm making it my birthday party. So make sure to join us out there at Dobson Ranch Golf Course. If you haven't already gotten a ticket, sign up, get one, maybe come down. Maybe I'll sell you one at the door. I don't know how that works. I don't want to be making promises like that, but it's my birthday, so I get to do what I want, and I'll get you in. Also, you're right now listening, watching, enjoying the PHNX Sports YouTube channel, make sure to subscribe to that channel. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss when any of our shows go live. Leave us a thumbs up. It's my birthday tomorrow, so I feel like you should have to do that. And also, if you're listening to us on your favorite audio podcasting app, please subscribe to us there. Leave us a review. We always appreciate your feedback. And if you're looking to end your night in the perfect way, grab yourself some Four Peaks beer. Wherever you get your beers, make sure to check out the wide variety they have to offer. I know there's not a lot of time in March left, but we got like a week and a half, a little bit less, a little bit more or less.
Yeah.
So make sure to check out their spring training tours over at their 8th Street Pub. They have a wonderful tour of their facility. We've talked about the ghosts. We've talked about making the beer. Maybe you can ask them how they make the beer and steal their recipes. I don't know. I'm not saying that you should go out and try to sell Four Peaks beer once you've stolen their recipes, but just make it for yourself. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Just ideas on how you can maximize going on the spring training tour out at the 8th Street Pub. But they're also going to be having a draft party for the Arizona Cardinals. New coach, new GM, and the Cardinals have the third pick in the draft. It's a big opportunity for the Arizona Cardinals and the best place to take in this pivotal moment. And the rest of the NFL draft on April 27th is at the Four Peaks 8th Street Pub. So put it on your calendar now. Make plans. Must be 21 years or older to enjoy their beer and enjoy responsibly.
I think the Cardinals are tanking, aren't they?
Tank season?
Is that, yeah. Yeah.
According we were sitting with the Cardinals guys the other day out at a restaurant, and they told us that the Cardinals have won one game at State Farm Stadium in the last 18 months. My mind was blown by that, mostly because I've watched every single one of their games. I don't know how I didn't already know that, but one game in 18 months. You're not going to get that with the Arizona Diamondbacks, that's for sure.
You better be there on April 27th for the NFL draft, because that's the only fun thing that the Cardinals really have going on.
It's like
right
that's
now,
their only win. The only W they're going to get is at the draft.
I mean, the Diamondbacks were in a similar situation not that long ago.
They are. So but look at us now. Look at us now. We still suck. World, but anyway.
We were talking about World Series contention yesterday, Derek. So
we were, and I refuse to go down that road with you. But we do have a guy that has a bit more experience when it comes to championship games now in the Arizona Diamondbacks, and that is our very own Merrill, the mainstay. Merrill Kelly is back, and he commented today a bit on his experience with the World Baseball Classic. He really seemed to enjoy himself, and Jesse actually asked him a bit about what message he would bring back to his teammates in regards to this, and what, you know, how does he want them to feel about maybe if they get the opportunity to do this in the future?
Yeah, I think everybody in that clubhouse shares the same sentiment. I mean, if you're a baseball player at this level and you really love what you do, I don't see a reason why you wouldn't be a part of that. The games that I experienced or some like any other games I've ever experienced in my life. I pitched in the Korean Series in 2018. That was 30,000 people in Seoul, but I mean, it doesn't even hold a candle to what these games were. And I think when you add in the mix of countries versus countries and, you know, best versus best, there's a whole different animal, whole different aspect of what it means, of what each pitch, each at bat, each inning really means to each and every guy. And I'm very grateful. I'm very fortunate that I was able to participate in it. I think there's a lot of guys out there that some of the guys have talked about, I think there's a lot of guys out there, if they would have committed to it, then I probably wouldn't have gotten the opportunity. And I definitely recognize that, and I don't take that for granted. But it was an experience that I've never been a part of and maybe never get to experience again. But I'm forever grateful and honored that I was able to experience it.
I like his I like his appreciation for it, and he's right. I think he's right. I think it's a very accurate self-analysis, right? He said he probably wouldn't have gotten this opportunity if other guys would have agreed, right? Including his own teammate, Zach Gallen, that we know was approached about being on Team USA.
Merrill Kelly probably wasn't the first phone call they made.
Right, right. And I mean, then it goes to that. Like, how does your ego take that hit? How do you kind of bounce back from that knowing that they kind of wanted you but didn't really want you, but whatever. But, you know, one thing you broke down was of all the starting pitchers, Merrill Kelly actually had the best numbers in 2022.
Yeah,
so he wasn't exactly like – he wasn't exactly a throw-in because they just needed a warm body. You know?
I mean, Merrill Kelly had a 3.37 ERA and threw 200 innings last year. I popped into the chat from our friends over at CHGO White Sox the other day. They were talking about the WBC. Of course, they were talking about how Lance Lynn was, of course, the best pitcher that Team USA had. And I don't know about that. I mean, if you look at 2022 numbers, I think Merrill Kelly was the better pitcher. you look career as a whole, I maybe would understand where they're coming from. But yeah, Merrill Kelly is, I mean, he's not a scrub. I mean, he very much, I think, belonged in that situation.
Very much so.
But yeah, but he also, you know, if the DeGroms and the Scherzers and those guys were willing to participate, then it's a different story.
Sure.
And that's probably an opportunity he would have gotten.
That could be said for Adam Wainwright or any of staff, to be honest, right?
Maybe 10 years ago, Adam Wainwright.
Yeah.
Maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah.
That man, I don't know how he does it.
He's an ageless wonder. Ageless wonder, much like myself.
41 years old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And here I am.
It's like Derek Montilla keeping up with the bump for Team USA.
Keeping up with you. Merrill, though, the one thing we talked about during the watch party was Merrill, like, it's almost like we made out his outing in the championship game to be a disaster, which by no stretch of the imagination am I saying it was a good outing. But
yeah,
Merrill Kelly has been known at times when he does have a bad first inning or second inning to bounce back and be able to lock it in, right? And he actually was asked about being pulled from the championship game, and I thought he gave a very Merrill Kelly answer. It was very honest. But he expressed that he was not happy about being removed from that game.
Yeah. Obviously not happy about it. I mean, you guys know me well enough now. I don't like to come out of games, especially when it's the second inning in a 1-1 ball game. I had confidence in myself that I could get a ground ball and get a double play and be out of that inning and still be 1-1. And, you know, you guys have seen me get in plenty of jams before and get out of them. So that was kind of my mentality. It was a little surprising when I saw D-Row walking out to the mound. But I recognize that it's the nature of the beast in a tournament like that. You got to do what you think you got to do to win that one game, because there's obviously no tomorrow. But obviously I wasn't happy with it. I had confidence in myself that I could get out of it and still go a productive 3, 4, 5 innings, whatever we needed. But like I said, it's kind of what you sign up for in that type of situation. He's got to do what he thinks he's got to do.
Jesse Friedman, as manager of Team USA, were you pulling Merrill Kelly out of the game at that point?
Yes.
Me too.
I'm just going to be totally honest.
It was a one and done situation.
It was
right?
A do or die baseball game. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think if the Diamondbacks were in a Game 7 of the World Series situation and Merrill Kelly's on the mound, and he's got, I think it was 3 walks at that point, an inning and a third into the game. Yeah. I mean, you kind of have to consider, like, you don't have any margin for error here. Team USA had a bunch of pitchers available, not starting pitchers necessarily, but on the reliever side, they certainly had enough arms to make it through.
And they did have a good bullpen.
A bullpen of a bunch of stars, basically. So, yeah, I understand where Merrill's coming from, and I think any major leaguer in any situation where they're being removed from the game, they're never going to come out and be like, yeah, I'm glad they took me out. Nobody's going to say that, right?
Right. Nobody's going to say that.
So, yeah, I would. That's the decision that I would have made.
Then. And I mean, I don't know if everybody's going to say I was mad that I got pulled out, but I think that what he said is pretty relevant.
Not on the record, at least.
Right. Yeah. Well, he was saying, like, you guys know me. You know that we know he's Merrill the mainstay, right? Like, we know that this guy is consistent, but in a ball game like this that ending 3-2, the margin for error is so small that you can't mess with, you know, leaving a guy in that might not have his best stuff that night. And I understand that. But I also understand that not everybody is going to feel the same way that Jesse and I do about the pitch clock. Merrill Kelly, what's funny about this is, like, the pitch clock is almost becoming one of those, like, hot button topics where you don't even need to be talking about the pitch clock for the pitch clock to come up. And it did here in Merrill Kelly's answer about his enjoyment of the WBC as a fan of baseball. But he immediately saw an opportunity to say, maybe we wouldn't have gotten a moment this special if the pitch clock was part of the WBC.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, people, I think, were begging for that from the start of the tournament. When they knew that Trout and Ohtani were both signed up, I think everybody who's a baseball fan wanted that situation, and it just so happened to be in the ninth inning in a 3-2 game. I don't think you could have probably written it up any better. One of the thoughts actually that was going through my head while all that stuff was going on is how are we possibly going to put a pitch clock on a situation like this? Was honestly one of the thoughts going through my mind in that situation, because it's the drama of that is you can't really replicate it, and especially if you put a time on it and have it be over a lot quicker than it was, I think is going to be an interesting pill to swallow for a lot of baseball fans. I think the anticipation of each pitch in that at bat was part of what made that at bat so special. So I'm interested to see how we handle that moving forward. But it was definitely, for a baseball fan, I think, for regardless of what country you're from, what country you were rooting for, if you're a baseball fan, you were rooting for that moment.
It's like he was just seeking an opportunity to take a dig at the pitch clock.
Yeah.
And he found it, right? Is he being overly dramatic there about that? And the reason why I say that is we have already come to love and basically pray to the pitch clock. the pitch clock is our Lord and Savior. But people that aren't on board with this, obviously, they kind of bring up the same stuff, right? And this is kind of, it's a great point. It's an absolutely outstanding point by Merrill. But I guess I'll ask you, do you think he's right? Do you think that this moment would have been less, forget how it would have impacted the game or if the score would have been different or anything else. Just this moment between Ohtani and Trout at the end of the game, would it have been impacted and less joyful if a pitch clock was causing them to basically rush this moment a bit more than they were taking in it, that they did in this game?
I don't think it would have made a big difference. That's my first thought. I know that baseball, especially late in postseason games and big moments, I feel like it is kind of a thing to slow the pace down maybe a little bit if you're the pitcher.
Let that crowd kind of be a part of it and let the moment
sit there in the moment and you know, not feel like you have to rush at all. So I understand where Merrill's coming from for sure, but I don't think that the Ohtani Trout at bat is any less epic if Ohtani throws his pitches just a little bit sooner. Yeah. We actually had some fun during our watch along, and I used my stopwatch as a pitch clock to test out at certain points in the game, like how close is the pitcher coming to actually doing what they would have to do under the pitch clock.
It was a few seconds here and there. I mean,
I don't remember who was on the mound, but when I tried it, they literally had a violation every single pitch.
Every single pitch, yeah.
I didn't do it at the end of the game because we were all locked in on Ohtani and Trout. I wasn't, I wasn't really in the mood.
He's not that much of
I wanted to just take that moment in with everyone else. But I don't think it would have a big impact. I still think that moment could be every bit as epic, even with a pitch clock. And those of us who've seen it a lot know that it's not something that you notice. It's not like Ohtani gets the ball back and he has to go right away. He has 2 seconds when he hits the mound to deliver the pitch. It's not like that. It's just a little bit sooner than some guys might normally go. And from a visual perspective, I don't think it really even occurs to you.
Merrill even brought up that he doesn't feel like he's going to have any problems with the pitch clock because he already works relatively quickly. Yeah. And we've heard that out of some of the other guys.
Well, we were curious to know because Merrill has been away from the pitch clock for quite a while now.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh man, he's going to come back, jump right into it. He's going to pitch one game before the season starts. How ready is Merrill actually going to be to play under these rules?
You know what he almost sounds like in that clip is somebody that's not really familiar with it. You know, because oftentimes we get approached by people that have concerns who will tell us that they haven't watched a game yet with the new rules. So they don't know how it impacts the actual game, but they'll bring their concerns about why it would be less enjoyable or what they don't want to see changed about the game they love. And I understand that, but that's kind of what Merrill sounds like here. It's what Torrey sounded like a bit when we talked to Torrey about the pitch clock, to be honest. Torrey kind of has the attitude of like, we have to do it. So there's no, like, I can't even have an opinion on it. Like Torrey acts like, what's the point of having an opinion when at the end of the day, we're going to be forced to do it anyway. So he's almost trying to take a positive approach and get himself on board and make sure the team is on board, make sure everybody understands we don't have a choice in this. This is happening. So we will accept it and we will abide by the rules that MLB has put into place. But still, even then, his tone is that of like he doesn't feel like dealing with this. I was about to curse with this stuff is what I was going to say. Caught myself. So and the segment two, still no curse words. I'm proud. But anyway,
this is a fascinating experiment.
It really is. It's hard for me. I'm dying inside. I'm going to explode. But Alec Thomas, another participant in the World Baseball Classic. We caught up with him today. A very fun moment in the clubhouse, which We'll have for you.
We'll get it out to you. We'll get it out to you in some way.
Yeah, for sure. It was basically Geraldo Perdomo interviewing Alec Thomas about what words in Spanish he learned and what phrases he's learned.
Specifically curse words was my understanding.
Yeah, for the most part.
Perdomo was curious what Alec Thomas picked up.
He wanted to know what dirty words he learned while he was gone. But Thomas did express that he feels like he might be a bit behind in his preparation for the season due to the World Baseball Classic. And he sounds like he's pretty happy to be back at Salt River Fields getting locked in for the regular season.
I think it was pretty all over the place. The scheduling was a bit off and rushed a lot of the time. So definitely didn't get a chance to get in the work that I normally would, you know, in spring training. And I'm glad that now I get to actually focus in on, you know, my routine and stuff that I've been working on in the off season. Because when I was there, it was just like, all right, we're going to be here. We're going to take BP. That's it. No, barely any cage time, no machine work or anything like that. So I was just pretty much just go out there and play. So and that's what we did. But
I think I understand that, especially with how if you've ever seen, like, they have a board of their schedule for the Arizona Diamondbacks during spring training. It's a video board and it's updated every day. And it's very detailed, like what field they have to be on, what group is where at what time. And it's down to like 15-minute, 30-minute increments. Like, they know exactly where they have to be and their day is filled for them. I think when they go to World Baseball Classic team, it's probably lax. It probably doesn't have that same, you know, feeling of spring training. And, you know, I mean, what we see on the field there of the guys kind of joking around with each other and having a good time is probably a bit indicative of what their preparation process is like.
Yeah. I mean, once the regular season starts for the D-backs, their day-to-day is going to look very different than it does right now. There are things that you do in spring training. There are drills that you run in spring training that once you're playing actual games every day, you kind of back off those things. So Alec has basically been in regular season mode, or really more so in like a postseason mode. You know, not necessarily playing games every day, a little bit of a lighter schedule while he's been with Team Mexico. So it'll be interesting to see if it appears to affect him at all once the season does start. Does Alec seem like he's, you know, maybe a step behind where he would have been in some ways? But my guess is it'll probably be fine at the end of the day. And I think Alec is fundamentally sound. And, you know, we saw him playing center field. He played a pretty darn good center field for Team Mexico. So,
and it was electric with him and Randy out there and just everything that they had going on.
But, yeah.
I think the one thing about it is you do get used to a certain kind of, like, I don't want to say like they tell you where to go and what to do at all times, but I feel like with the WBC, you had to be a little bit more self-disciplined and maybe a little bit more.
Well, they just didn't do. I mean, as he talked about there, it's like, we're going to go hit BP and that's it. And then the game starts.
Then we play baseball. So shout out to Brett Johnson for being late. But I'm glad you're here. We're glad you're here. He said he had to get some wows, of course.
Respect.
And it's MLB The Show release night. You're damn right it is.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I have to wait 5 more days, unfortunately, because I have the Xbox Game Pass and it launches on March 28th. Mm. So there's a gap of me just being sad without baseball. But
poor choice on your part.
It's all right. I got the other one to keep me satisfied until then. But something that I don't have enough of to keep me satisfied until then is our friends from OG's and their wonderful edibles. So I will be picking some of those up on the way home, and you should probably do the same. The one thing that I have been talking to everybody in this office about is sleep. There is one thing that none of these people do enough around here, and it's sleep, especially this guy. Every single day. Oh, I got 2 hours last night. Oh, I was able to piece together a 4-hour night.
Last night was good.
Like, I could not operate in the same way that these guys do. And the reason why I get such good sleep, OG Sleep Edition gummies. They are live, they are active, and they are available at dispensaries all around the valley. You can find them at your local dispensary by checking out ogsbrands.com. Must be 21 or over to enjoy. And of course, it's all about the CBN. THC makes you happy, makes you feel good. CBN puts you to sleep, and it helps you stay asleep. And more importantly, The one thing about the Sleep Edition gummies is, of course, they're delicious with the aquaberry flavor. But once you get on track, you're back. You're like, I felt like I got myself back on track, back on a track of being able to sleep a full 8 hours per night without waking up in the middle of the night, without getting up to go check my phone or, you know, of course, check the numbers for this show. I obsess about the numbers for this show. That's why we ask you guys to watch it and follow it. You know what I mean? Like, but of course, with all that going on in my brain in the middle of the night, I most of the time can't get a good night's sleep. But now I swear to God, for like the last 6 months, ever since we have had the Sleep Edition gummies in our lives, I've been getting a better night's sleep, and you can too. And of course, make sure to check out all the wonderful edibles that OG's has to offer. And of course, what else do you need to sleep once you got the Sleep Edition gummies? A bed. And you can get that from morefurniture.com. You can get all sorts of bedroom furniture, living room furniture. Do you need maybe a couch bed so you can fall asleep out there and then take it to the bedroom later? Whatever you need. I love falling asleep on my couch, by the way.
Like, done that a few times.
Oh, man. I mean, most people, it's falling asleep on the couch. It's a bad thing. Not to me. Not to this guy. I love falling asleep with the TV on, some baseball on the TV, falling asleep sideways on the couch. Let's go.
One of my college roommates literally fell asleep on the couch every single night.
See, that's annoying when you like when it's a roommate situation. Yeah. Because you're like, I want to sit on the couch and watch TV now. And now it's your bedroom.
I mean,
right?
To be fair, you generally didn't show up until around 2 a.m.
Okay.
So we weren't exactly
keeping
to
similar
watch
hours
TV at that point. But
I get it. Well, you can save big regardless of where your roommate is sleeping or where your significant other is sleeping by buying the best furniture in the valley over at morefurniture.com and maybe buy them a bed so that they don't sleep out on the couch anymore. I don't know. Before we go, we have one more weird, very weird thing that continues to develop when it comes to Diamond Sports Group, aka Bally Sports Arizona, Bally's with apostrophe S, and Major League Baseball. According to a report, Bally's with an S, apostrophe S, not Bally Sports, has agreed to a deal with Major League Baseball to broadcast all 120 minor league team games for free on the Bally's, apostrophe S, U.S. casino app. It's very important to understand this because it's very confusing, right? Again, if you are new to this, Bally's has casinos. Bally's used to make pinball machines, okay? So that company basically offered for a fee the naming rights deal with Diamond Sports Group, where Diamond Sports Group could use the Bally name and the Bally B logo, that cursive logo, to basically name their regional sports networks for Diamond Sports Group as Bally Sports. So
it had nothing to do with the actual streaming industry themselves.
Nothing at all.
They just threw their name on Diamond Sports Group streaming service.
And their focus right now is hotels, casinos, and a casino gaming app where you can gamble online. Now, the casino app is where you will be able to watch 120 minor league teams, baseball games this season.
Kind of a bizarre place to watch minor league games.
It is. And not only
download the Bally's Casino app.
Bally's Casino app. It's different because you probably already have the Bally Sports Arizona app or the Bally Sports app on your phone.
That's not the same.
That's not the one you're going to find it on. So we're trying to let you know now. It took me, Espo, and Jesse hours to figure this out, even with an article that was very confusing that I don't think the person writing it even had it figured out. But while you will be able to gamble on MLB games on the Bally's casino app and on other sports and other things, you will not be able to gamble on minor league games, which is not allowed. I don't believe anywhere allows minor league gambling. But the big question is, why would they do this? Why would Bally's casino app even get involved anymore in this fiasco in any way, shape, or form? Well, I mean, I have a theory. I don't
know
if it's right.
What's your theory, Derek?
I'm speculating here.
You got to put the tinfoil hat on.
I need one of Espo's tinfoil hats. But Diamond Sports Group has absolutely ruined the reputation of Bally's, and most people don't know the difference between the two entities, and that's why allowing your naming rights to go to some company that you have no idea how they're going to perform or what's going to happen with them.
Well, they probably thought they had an idea.
They probably thought it was going to be a great
move,
right?
They thought it was going to be great.
Yeah, this is great. We get all the benefit of people thinking we're the ones behind their regional sports networks without having to do any of the work. It's a win-win. Or it could end up being a lose-lose, which it currently seems like for Bally's when you talk about Bally's in the context of the sports world. Bally's still has a vested interest. Diamond Sports Group might go away. I almost did it there. It might go away forever. We also might see Bally's Sports Arizona and all the regional ones go away forever. But the company Bally's is still going to exist, and their name and their reputation has absolutely been ruined through this process. So to maybe save face, maybe they're providing baseball in any way they can, and they worked out a deal with MLB where it's going to help grow the game by us being able to actually watch minor league teams for free streaming whenever we want to on an app. That sounds like a win. You know what I mean? But Bally still has to try to do everything they can to repair their reputation, because why would you go gamble with Bally's when you hate them for what they did to your regional sports rights? Or that, like, if they don't broadcast the Diamondbacks games anymore, there are going to be people that are mad at Bally's just as a whole and won't have anything to do with them any further. So perhaps this goodwill move kind of helps people to forgive. Maybe it helps them to maybe understand that Bally's is a separate entity. I don't know. This would be like me giving the naming rights for like a taco shop to my name to that. So they call it the Derek Montilla Taco Shop. But then they run
How much do you think they would pay to put your name on their taco shop?
Oh, I'm not even prepared at this time to release that information, because there might be people.
What are your rates?
There might be people watching right now that want to negotiate that deal, and I'm not just going to give that away. but the bigger point is how my reputation could be ruined should that taco shop that I allow to put my name on it just be terrible in every way, right? Like, they're just going to think Derek doesn't know how to make tacos, and I will not stand for that, because I know how to make tacos. What do you think?
I mean, what do I think of you putting your name on a taco stand?
I was going to say, what do you think of my tacos? That's what I was going to get to. No.
Well, I haven't tried your tacos.
Oh, yeah. Derek, I'm going to have to. Everything I've made for you guys is good, and you know it. But Bally's, what do you think about this situation and how bad it is?
What is most interesting to me is just the fact that minor league baseball games are going to be free.
I think that's the big story here, to be honest.
That's pretty cool. And that's kind of the thing here that I'm most interested in. I believe that MLB.TV also has a thing this year that's new, where you actually get access to all the minor league games through MLB.TV. Mm. So if you pay the $150 or whatever it is for MLB.TV, then all the minor league games would come with it. Whereas in the past, those were like two separate things that you had to buy.
I think you had to pay $30 extra a year for the something premium like package after you already had the MLB package.
It wasn't like super, super expensive to add the minor league games
But more money that you don't really need to pay, considering you have access to all those baseball games for the major leagues anyway, right, at that point.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is kind of odd in that, I mean, that was kind of a big benefit for MLB.TV this year, was that not only are you going to get all of the big league games that you want, but you're going to get those minor league games thrown in. Now you have Bally's coming in and offering all of the minor league games for free anyway. So I don't know how the MLB.TV folks feel about that necessarily. But in the grand scheme of things, all minor league games being freely available to baseball fans everywhere is very exciting. It's something that I got into really for the first time last year. It's enough baseball really to watch Diamondbacks games every single day, right, during the season if you're a fan of this team. It's a lot more work to watch, you know, three or four minor league games that happen pretty much every day too. But it's a lot of fun, and you know, you don't have to go in and watch every game necessarily, but if, you know, Brandon Pfaadt's on the mound, or you have a rehab assignment or something like that, there's a lot of good baseball to watch down in the minors, and I think it's great that that's going to be available for people.
I know we're going to have a blast watching all the teams that we haven't had a chance to watch.
Maybe we'll have watch parties just for the Sod Poodles.
I'm watching every Calf Fries game. Every Calf Fries game I'm watching proudly with my burnt orange hat on, and I'm going to watch that team and all of their fun innuendos. But Jesse, they're not the only one with fun innuendos, because I have fun innuendos too. And as you guys
about your dinosaur costume again?
Well, look, the other day when we were doing our watch party, I was going to put on, as some of you saw, Roman the Dinosaur, which we lovingly named my costume. It's me riding a patriotic Tyrannosaurus Rex wearing an Uncle Sam top hat. It was very whimsical. I enjoyed it very much. And of course, what I was going to do was when Team USA was down late, Damon and I had decided he was going to be a rally dinosaur. I was going to throw him on. We were going to pick Team USA up. And we even blamed the loss on the fact that that didn't happen. But why didn't that happen, Jesse? It didn't happen because in the big moment, Roman, the dinosaur, couldn't perform. Roman couldn't get up. And to be honest, he was much harder at times. But when it came down to a pivotal moment of the night, Roman just couldn't get the job done for me. And that's why I need the real Roman. And that is our friends over at Roman.co. Roman is going to help you get a better sexual life. Roman is going to help you perform when the game is on the line. When your team needs you, Roman is going to be there for you to make sure that you are ready for the moment. And Roman not only has a digital health clinic for men addressing a variety of sexual health needs and offering genuine medication that helps achieve and maintain that hard, strong erection we're talking about, but we're also talking about products like discreet wipes and testosterone assistance that men with low T to help your testosterone get back to levels to normal to help increase your libido. They offer a testosterone kit, and if it's appropriate for you, treatment for low testosterone. You don't have to worry about any waiting rooms. You don't have to sit around here with a bunch of people watching you while you're watching the World Baseball Classic game. You can go right into this digital experience from the comfort of your home. And if the medication or testing is appropriate, Roman will send it directly to your door. Everything arrives in discreet packaging. It won't come in a red, white, and blue box like the dinosaur I purchased did. It won't be very noticeable. And of course, you will have everything you need to get your sex life back on track. So to learn more about how you can achieve your personal sexual health goals, go to ro.co/phnx to get 20% off your entire first order. That's ro.co/phnx. That's not pleasant.
It's really
for
a shame that Roman the dinosaur didn't come through for Team USA Tuesday. We're still around the office. We're fully blaming the dinosaur for
They're mad about it. But see, that's the thing is you can never predict when you're going to go flat. You can never predict when you're not be able to get it up. And that's why we got Roman. But we also have Game Time. And Game Time will make sure that you don't miss out on any of the events that you want to go to. I know FOMO is big around this time of the year. There's lots of fun stuff to do. And who has money to buy all of these tickets? Who has time? Who knows if they're going to have time to go to these events? So, of course, if you want to wait till the last minute and save money, you can do so with the Game Time app or at GameTime.co. Save up to 60% on tickets when you buy your tickets last minute. And the best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. So we thank you guys for doing so, and we hope you guys get to go out and watch some spring training games. There's no time left. This is through
Sunday.
This is an emergency. If you want to see Salt River Fields, which is Jesse's favorite place to be, he loves Salt River Fields so much.
It's lovely.
Make sure
don't
love
the traffic. Don't love the traffic driving from Salt River Fields to downtown. Not going to miss that drive in the afternoon.
Not at all.
The facility itself is gorgeous.
And these days, these beautiful days that we have outside, we're going to miss. So make sure to enjoy. Go outside right now. Live life a little bit. Touch grass, if you will. But in the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at @cap_caveman with a K. I'm only going to be 41 for like 6 more hours. This guy over here is forever going to be a young child. You can find him at Jesse N. Friedman. Damon is at Damon Dog. That's DAWG. Our show is at @phnx_dbacks. But of course, all roads lead to @phnx_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys so much for joining us. On behalf of these guys and myself, we always appreciate your time. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you just learn to accept the pitch clock.